The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You are listening to I Am Refocused Radio with your host, Shamaya Reed. This show is designed to inspire you to live your purpose and regain your focus. And now, here's your host, Shamaya Reed.
Hey, welcome to I Am Refocused Radio. Man, we are here once again with an awesome guest. We have, man, owner of a business, Liam Brown. And, man, you can go to his website. It's pks.gg/NACL. We're going to learn everything of what he does with his business. So, man, if you know anything about esports, well, guess what? We're going to learn everything about the business that Liam is doing. First and foremost, welcome to the show. How you doing, sir?
Doing great today, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir, man. So when it comes to your story, what gave you that spark to become your own boss, being, you know, starting your own business as an entrepreneur?
Well, you know, as I think that, like, first and foremost, I'm not the head of the Knights Esports group that I represent, but they have entrusted me with, like, a higher leadership role since I've started. And I think as far as, like leadership and that kind of thinking, that really started whenever I saw that there was a need for it. I think that goes back to in childhood. I sort of, not necessarily was the leader of, but I sort of was like the head of my friend group when I was a kid. Most recently, like going into esports and gaming, I found that there was a need to really bring people together at my university. I was over at University of Pittsburgh, and I saw that there was a real need for someone to spearhead the overall gaming and esports presence that was at my school, because there was nobody doing anything with it, right? We had a lot of different organizations, but nobody was really trying to bring anybody together. And with that mindset of bringing people together in like-minded individuals or just people that are looking for like a new space to and a new friend group to be a part of, I think that's really where I shine. And that's really where I've excelled. And that's how I've chosen to really lead my life. And that's really how I got my start here.
That's awesome. So did you have, like, you know, friends or any mentors or anybody to help guide you to what you're doing now?
No, I didn't. The typical path of finding your way through life is going to be doing many different things wrong, but finding some things that you do right. And I am the typical story of somebody who didn't find out what they wanted to do until very late in the game. And when I say late in the game, I mean a few months before my graduation from university, right? I had switched majors 3 or 4 times. I'd switched career paths probably 6 or 7 times during my time at university. And that really opened me up to the possibility of change in my life, because I was constantly shifting between, this could work. Okay, well, I'm not really that passionate about it. This is something I'm passionate about. And I finally landed on this industry because in my background, it was something that was the one thing bringing people together, even when times were tough, you know, in any aspect of life. So that's what really drew me to this. And I found this completely on my own. And I know not everybody can relate to that. Some people have people direct them towards something, but I think the closest thing I had to a mentor is probably my father, but he never wanted to push me into one specific thing because he had seen in his life that a lot of his work friends had pushed their children into certain career paths out of love, but they ended up resenting that path of life because it wasn't truly their own. So he wanted me to find my own path, and this is where it's landed me. And, you know, I'm very happy to say the least.
And when it comes to this whole deal of basically being a gaming fan and now having this big responsibility as an esports executive, I mean, paint the picture for the audience. Someone who never heard of this opportunity industry, if you will, kind of break right. it down. What's some of the responsibilities that you do in the overall core mission?
So the official title that I have is a corporate partnerships manager, which for any corporate organization, you're going to find that they will manage and set up new existing partnerships for that business. So people that we work with specifically in esports, they want access to a very specific audience group that we represent. And in esports, what we represent are gamers, which is one of the fastest growing high income audience groups that currently exists on the market. And how I would detail esports to people is the professional level of gaming where people play video games competitively and professionally against each other. Now, to some people, their follow up question would be like, wow, that's an actual job, and they never meet it in a condescending way. It is just such a competitive level of entertainment that is already at the forefront of people's minds when they think of gaming in general, because it's like, okay, like this is a pastime, but you know, what can you do with this, right? And that's what I come in and represent to not only people on the digital landscape right now, but also to my generation right now, because I'm at the cusp of a very unique, fast growing industry, and I have to position myself in such a way that I am bringing this to new people in a positive light. And I, as somebody who works in this industry, and because it's growing so fast and it's so new, I act as a representative of this industry in all parts of my life, whether I'm just talking to someone at the grocery store, or I'm at the gym, or I'm in my average day-to-day life outside of work, right? I have to be a representative of this industry in all walks of my life. So that's kind of how I would break down esports for people that are new to the overall industry.
And for the piece where the people that you represent kind of touch on that, because when you go to the website, you see, you know, Knights Arena, and you see all these leagues, and you see rules and watch parties and all that jazz. For the audience, how is it like representing the brand that you're representing, and also the opportunities that gamers have with learning more about the leagues and the rules and what have you?
Right. I think that first and foremost, I feel very proud to be a part of the organization that I'm a part of. We are very unique in our approach to esports overall. And as an organization, we've transcended just competing in different leagues and different gaming titles. We've also centered ourselves as a leader in the space, constantly creating new experiences by, you know, one example is creating the Path to Pro environment that doesn't necessarily exist in esports, and allowing people to grow their talent, earn their stripes to get onto the professional stage. The Knights Esports group that I represent, we have developed a really cool system and ability to cater to the overall esports and gaming fan base. And gamers themselves, psychologically speaking, they are analytically minded. They can spot an ad campaign from a mile away. They are very loyal to brands that they see who are trying to grow the space that they currently exist in. And it's while representing this quite finicky, I don't want to say finicky, this very perceptive audience group, I am uniquely suited with my organization to create overall experiences for them while looping in sponsors and partners into the experience, so that the brand that wants to be a part of this space and be a part of this audience group, they can build the space and build the overall experience for those fans, so that they will be top of mind when those future customers go to make their purchasing decisions, right? So it's very difficult to just go after this audience. And that's one of the things that I find that's so challenging and so cool about working in this field. It's that we have to cater to a very specific clientele. And that's what makes every single day of a very character building challenge, and I love it.
We do listen on Refocus Radio, talking to our guest Liam Brown, and he is the corporate partnerships manager for Knights Esports Group. And you can go to the website pks.gg/NACL. This is a pretty awesome topic because, like you said, it's almost like the whole talk with Bitcoin. No one knows exactly what is going on, but everyone kind of knows it's kind of very popular.
Yeah.
The gaming industry, super popular. Everyone, you know, that has, you know, kids, you know, high school, whatever, they playing video games all the time. So
yep.
Kind of touch on the opportunities as far as the job market and maybe potential opportunities that young people out there listening, like, you know what, man, I can probably have a job doing this or become a professional gamer.
Well, first and foremost, everybody, when they see esports, they think of the only career path in this space is a competitive player. And while there is the case that can be made, like, oh, you can be, that is something to aspire to be. There is also every single other skill set that currently exists on the job market that is needed in esports as a growing industry. We need lawyers. We need carpenters. We need people to build the stages that we compete on. We need events coordinators, the people who run and the entire event and help make sure that people get to where they need to go. We need marketers who are savvy enough to understand this specific audience demographic is following this gaming title versus this audience demographic is following this gaming title, right? What I can say to people if they're looking to get into this space is to, first off, take a step back and look at where you want to see yourself in this space. Then I would say go after not only esports teams, but also events and tournament organizers, as well as influencers and gaming developers. Be active in these communities, and then you will begin to see a lot of the different opportunities unfold. One example I would give is, let's say you want to throw several different events and you want to gain more experience in managing people. What I could recommend to you is to utilize Eventbrite and also Reddit to find the geo-target the people in your area. And then you can throw your own esports and gaming events on your own for pretty much for free, as long as you have the venue in order, right? Let's say that you want to get into the typical corporate side or the staff side. Many, many, many different esports organizations and the gaming developers will use the traditional avenues of communication to post their jobs, such as Indeed on LinkedIn and all these different job finding websites, right? So first, in order to get into the space, look and envision where you see yourself in the space. And then number two, start to get involved. The barrier to entry into esports is a little bit lower than it is in, say, traditional sports or other fields, because we're actively looking for new talent. As a growing industry, we need more different viewpoints. We need different skill sets in order to keep on evolving and keep on growing. So that's what I would say to people that want to get into the space or perhaps feel lost and they're looking for another career path. That's what I would say to them.
That's very interesting. And for someone who would be interested in trying to go in that corporate route, are there events that are posted in a central location online that they can keep track of, or how would that work?
So one thing that I could say to network for future jobs in esports and gaming overall, I would for sure try to go to the different gaming and professional gaming conventions that exist, such as your DreamHacks, your TwitchCons, and then I would network with people in those spaces. And then it would be a simple act of the follow-up and the maintaining of relationships there. As far as going to individual job fairs and that kind of that traditional route, I know that there are some esports and gaming affiliated organizations that will go to job fairs, but it's not really the regular, just because it's sort of a niche type of applicant that's going to be going after those kinds of job postings in the first place, right? So I would definitely make sure to utilize all aspects of your job search approach, meaning, going into software such as LinkedIn and Indeed, and making sure that you're applying for different organizations. And also another thing to note, there's a lot of places that are hiring that don't say that they're hiring. Okay. Let me say that again. There's a lot of places that are hiring, but they don't say that they're hiring. So constantly going after the right contacts at each of these different companies through, you know, social media platforms and on professional sources such as LinkedIn, I think would be the best approach for somebody that wants to get into the space. And honestly, if you don't know what you kind of are looking for as far as a specific title, I would make sure that you have all your skill set and your, you know, your resume on hand and also in your mind so that you're regularly able to ask questions about certain roles and more importantly, be able to answer questions that you receive about your skill set and where you would fit into place of that organization.
And for those who are on the gaming side and the entertaining part of this, what is the requirements and protocol for someone who's a gamer and they want to figure out, okay, how can I get involved in, you know, esports, and especially you being the manager, partnerships manager for Knights esports?
That's a great question. First off, I would build four things actually. One would be your skill set in the gaming titles that you want to perform in or participate in on the professional level. So that means you're going to be taking care of your, you know, your aim. You're going to be taking care of your movement patterns, you know, your skills in the game overall. Number two, I would grow my initial following, or at least have a strategy put in place to grow my following so that ideally, my fans are going to be your fans. My fans are going to be fans of the organization that I end up joining. Number three, I would get a certain brand image and personality in order that you can stay consistent with throughout interviews, throughout your streams, content, and also your presence on and off the field when you interact with fans versus interact with other players. And then number four, I would get down a list of the different organizations that you would like to be a part of, and then you would be an active participant in their communities. Not necessarily a fan, but more so get involved in their Discord communities, in their, you know, social media polls, be an active user in their community. So that's the advice that I would give to people on the gaming side that want to get in on the overall professional gaming level. So that would be my advice. Yeah.
And the follow-up question to that is, so the person, the gamer, they're now inside the house. Okay, what are some of the, you know, expectations of that individual and also rules?
Right. I think an expectation would be to have some of your... You want to be as open to new audiences as you can, while treating your core fan base very well. And what I mean by that is being relatively polite and not trying to make the most enemies out of, you know, different people or different influencers. Then I would also say that once you're in the house, get down a process of being able to easily and consistently post content on both long form, short form, and be an active be active with your core fan base. So what that means is finding a good video editing software that you are able to consistently put out interesting and engaging content on short form platforms, as well as take that content, be able to flip it to long form content on YouTube. And I think though, keeping that in mind and constantly being a continuous and active engager of your audience, as well as consistently working to better yourself and better your overall branding, I think that's what I would say to those people once they're in the house. Those are probably the best rules of engagement going forward and seeking virability.
We're talking to our guest today, Leon Brown. Go to the website pks.gg/NACL. And with tech always evolving, technology is always changing, and always you wake up one morning and you have this new thing you have to, you know, use in your social media world. How have you and your organization keep up with the ever, you know, evolving technology?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great question. I first off, we have insider information on the developer side because we have active relationships with all the different game developers that we represent or we compete in their games. So number one, we have insider information for a lot of the technology that is being used in our industry. Number two, we're on a first name basis with a lot of different and friendships with a lot of different gaming news organizations. So we're able to get into the curve of overall decision making and information that is there. And then number three, I would say we're also the ones building technology, right? Part of Knights Esports Group is that we are an active tech developer for platforms such as Discord, and we are also making waves in the overall technology space, and we're the ones making those headlines as well. So I think those three, helping to lead the overall technology and then having insider information on every single aspect of the overall space, that definitely helps us get behind the curve, as it were.
And someone listening to this right now, maybe they're an entrepreneur themselves, maybe they're, you know, owning a business and they want to find a way that they can talk to someone over at, you know, Knights Esports, and they want to see, hey, what can we do to sponsor or collaborate or work on a project where, you know, it makes sense?
Mm-hmm. I think that, well, there's a couple of things. You can either connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always eager to discuss new projects and new partnerships. However, if you don't want to get in touch with me, or if you want to get in touch with another person at a different organization, I would say be an active user on Discord, as well as go through the traditional routes such as LinkedIn. And then also on the third tier, a lot of the staff side, the decision makers at these esports and gaming organizations are also going to be active on social media as well. So you will have to do a tiny bit of digging, but I would be consistent on following up with them on those different platforms. So such as your Twitters, your Instagrams, and TikTok, and then also using the other more professional side, such as LinkedIn, and then following that up with being an active user on their Discord platform and you know, learning the flow of communication there, because every community is really different. They more than likely, though, they have like a question polling place, polling server, and then from there you can phrase some of your questions. Who would be the best person to get in contact with this? And more than likely, the moderator for the community is going to bring that up the chain of command. So, you know, there's always a way to get in touch with an esports or gaming organization with new projects, just because we're so willing to have that open dialogue. Because again, we're a growing industry and we're constantly looking for new opportunities.
And the reason why I mentioned that is because earlier when you talked about like events where there's gaming going on, I mean, that sounds very exciting. I can only imagine how someone be like, hey, this might be an opportunity for investing. So when it comes to these events, how does that take place? What's the process setting up these events and put on a successful turnout?
I think one of the first things is ironing out who the event is for and who is going to be the core audience of that specific event. Then number two is, okay, how do we attract more people to come to this event? One of the ways to attract more people is making sure that a relevant and relatively active member of the local community would be sponsoring the event. You know, let's say over here in Pittsburgh, like we've had, my organization is located here in Pittsburgh, and Sheetz is one of the largest convenience stores in the local area. And we've had them come on as sponsors of our in-person events many different times, so that we're not only bringing their brand into a very relevant conversation, but also we're able to, not, I don't want to say piggyback, but we're able to work with them and bring our two brand, like sides of the brand, together for this experience, right? Then on another side, you have to make sure that the infrastructure is in place. So making sure there's a solid internet connection, power, the venue, the staff are going to be available for any questions you might have or technical difficulties, and make sure that your in-person staff are able to work with their overall setup staff so that the event is put on time with as little technical difficulties as possible. Then from there, you want to decide what is the overall draw for people? Is there going to be prizing involved? Is the gaming title that you're competing in a lot of fun, or is it a newer title, right? And then number three, you want to make sure that you're collecting data from the overall audience that are involved so you can ping them later on if you have cool stuff. So if you want to, when they sign up, they have to put down their email so that you can forward other communications in the future to them. So then you start with one event, but you're able to capture a wide audience because you're constantly pinging them after, like, hey, how was the event? We've got these other ones really cool planned. I'd love to have you guys on board, you know? And then you also make sure finally that there's content being created leading up to, during, and after the event so that people who aren't there can see what they missed out on, get a little bit of fear of missing out from there for the future. And then also so you can reuse that content for future events as well, right? So when you make sure all of your bases are covered, as to the best of your ability, again, in-person events, nothing ever goes all the way according to plan 100%, but there is steps you can take before, during, and after to make sure that that event itself is really shines and provides, not first, the best experience for your audience, and number two, helps to grow your overall audience. So that's what I would say to somebody like, well, how does an event work? That's a rough framework.
And last question before we get you out of here is, yeah, you have, you know, people go to, you know, the website and check out the league and, you know, the Knights Arena, and mm-hmm. they can see all these different games that are scheduled out, you know, every day. You have watch parties. Now, these are virtual. So real quick for the audience, how does the watch party work and who all can be involved in that and how can they do that?
Anybody can be involved in the watch party as long as you have a working Twitch account and Discord account. And a lot of the times we're going to be doing those watch parties in Discord. And the cool thing about the watch parties for this, and the link that I provided, is one of the largest things that my company is doing right now in esports, is that we're running the entirety of the North American Valorant Challengers League for our continent. That means that, you know, you're going to have the best of the best in this continent duking it out for positions in the premier leagues of the title called Valorant. Valorant is the esport right now, right? It's intense 5-on-5 first person shooter action. You know, CS basically is a first person shooter with superpowers and an in-game economic system. Now, what the best draw of the watch parties are is that, one, you're able to watch this title specifically with other people that have a knowledge of the overall game. So one, you're able to talk and discuss with like-minded individuals. Number two, what's really cool about these watch parties is that you are able to be in there and you're able to ask questions from the players. And then when each round is done, we will pick questions just from the watch parties to ask the professional talent that, you know, just got finished competing, right? So people that join on these watch parties have a way to get involved in the action themselves by getting their questions answered by the talent themselves, by the talent that's competing, as well as to be a part of like a like-minded community. And it's another avenue more in depth than that of Twitch to get involved in on the action, right? So we're all about connecting and bringing people together, and Discord has been a platform that we've been able to really pull people into the action with these watch parties during the Challengers League. So yeah, that's how they would get involved there.
Man, it sounds like y'all need like, I don't know if y'all have a podcast, but y'all need to have a podcast, have people tune in for all these insiders, you know, information, man. But
we have a small thing called Spike Down, where actually like my buddy Keith, he runs it, and it's kind of like NFL style, like commentary on like, oh, what just happened? So, you know, We post that a little bit on YouTube and stuff like that, but that's probably the closest thing we have to a podcast running right now to really capture the action.
Okay. Well, what's the name of that YouTube so someone listening right now?
Yeah, I believe you can just find it on the Knights YouTube. You just have to it's the Pittsburgh Knights on YouTube, and then I believe we post a lot of Spike Down there, and then we also host it on our Twitch. So check out Knights Arena on Twitch, and we will usually have Spike Down playing there as well.
Perfect, man. Once again, we've been talking to our guest today, Leon Brown. You can go visit the website, pks.gg/NACL. Man, you want to learn more about what he does with the whole industry with esports. And man, you want to check this out. I mean, I'm going to check it out. I'm a little gamer, but you know what I'm saying? I'm not like heavy like a lot of people, but Yeah, I'm going to check this out. This sounds like a pretty cool thing, kind of, you know, look at. So if you're a gamer, I definitely suggest you check this out, man. Once again, Leon, thank you for your time, man.
So, man, thanks for having me.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.